Hello and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. We're glad you've joined us for day two of our business article. We're right in the middle of your March magazine, page 25, where you see the 14. I'm Josh, and I'm back in the studio for our second day at this look, this very interesting look inside a brand and a company we're all very familiar with, but taking a look inside a place many of us never knew existed. And I have Simon and Amanda back with me today. What was something interesting you learned from yesterday's program, Simon?
Well, I think it's actually pretty impressive that McDonald's, a company with 34,000 restaurants around the world, is taking all of these steps to improve its innovation and improve its service. I gather that's largely because of falling sales in recent years at more established older stores. But it's interesting that they're taking such an active approach to solving this problem by looking at what customers really want and trying to figure out ways to meet those desires.
So we're inside the Innovation Center, where I read about 135 people work full-time, and there's three kitchens. And what kinds of things are going on inside here, Amanda?
Oh, well, they're learning how to sling their fries and hand food to the customers in a faster time. And also just during the actual rush of a normal, you know, McDonald's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, how to improve the service for the customers, whether it be through the preparation of the food, how they approach the customers, all those different elements that make it up. So they need people like engineers, researchers, designers, a variety of people.
We joked yesterday about how Simon's sort of a difficult customer. Are you someone, when you go out to eat, that you want a lot of substitutions or is it a special order?
No, I think beforehand I've chosen the restaurant on what they can offer me already. So in my head, I'm like, oh, they can offer me that, so I'm going to go to that restaurant. I don't usually go to the restaurant and then try to customize my order so much.
That can make things difficult.
Yeah. I don't know. I get annoyed by people that try to customize too much. I think because I used to be like do waitressing, that kind of job. And so when people are trying to be too picky, I'm not sure if I enjoy that.
I also worked in service, and I actually feel the same way. I know we gave the impression I didn't want onions yesterday, but I actually take sort of the normal thing on the menu most of the time, basically because I worked in service, and I think it's...
I was at a restaurant last week and watched a chef berate a customer for asking for too many substitutions on something.
Okay, I think there's a fine line. You don't want it to be rude.
What specific substitutions did they ask for? We should know what these...
He just wanted no cheese.
Oh, hot button.
The chef was, furious.
Cheese is important.
That he would dare order whatever it was. I didn't hear what his order was. It might have been a quesadilla. I don't know. But something that he really felt needed to have cheese on it.
I come from the culture where the customer is, we would say the customer is always right. The customer also has that needs to be courteous and polite as well.
Yeah, that goes both ways, you know.
Yeah.
The customer's always right if they're not asking for anything.
Well, so Amanda, how we made money, I don't know.
Amanda told us yesterday that McDonald's has a goal of getting your food to you in 90 seconds. Hmm. So is that from the time you place your order?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you might be in line a little bit longer. Simon, you said you've seen some pretty long lines at McDonald's.
Yeah, I've actually had this experience, though, the 90-second thing where you're going through the drive-thru and they have like a clock that starts timing you. Mm-hmm. And if they don't make the 90 seconds, you get something free.
Wow.
Fantastic.
So you're cheering for 91.
Yeah, you're like, oh, no, drop those French fries. Yeah.
Well, we're going to find out what they're doing in a little bit deeper today and find out who's visiting the Innovation Center there in Romeoville, Illinois. We'll break our lesson up into three readings, and we'll start where you see the 14.
When McDonald's wanted to offer wraps in more restaurants, it came here to figure out how to teach workers to prepare them in under a minute. When it was preparing to open its largest restaurant, For the 2012 Summer Olympics, it took about a week to assemble a mock version that stretched from one side of the warehouse to the other. Each year, McDonald's operators from 25 to 30 countries rotate through the center, spending a week there on their own projects. One week, a team from Australia was testing how to incorporate a customized gourmet burger into its restaurants. The following week, teams from Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Finland came to do their own tests. The mock drive-thru can be moved to accommodate the side of the car used by a driver in a specific country.
So what was one of the recent goals in taking place in the Innovation Center, Simon?
Well, they wanted to offer wraps, which some of our listeners might be familiar with, others might not be. It's basically a sort of a flat, round piece of bread that's literally wrapped around stuff you might find in a sandwich, like vegetables and meat.
Yeah, there's a Big Mac version. I think there's one with sticky rice in here found in Asia. Are you a wrap fan, Amanda?
Yeah, I do enjoy wraps, but sometimes I just like the bun from a burger as well.
So. Well, their goal was to get it built in under a minute.
Yeah, they wanted to actually introduce these wraps into more restaurants all over the place. And to do that, they needed to be able to make the wraps efficiently. And so they had to come to the Innovation Center to figure out how to make them quickly and how to train employees to do that.
Well, then it says there in line 3, when it was preparing to open its largest restaurant, they actually built a mock version of it inside the warehouse. And I did some reading. There's some cool pictures of this restaurant. It was for the Summer Olympics in London. It was a 32,000 square foot pop-up restaurant that seated 1,500 people.
Ooh.
It's actually really interesting that they can use this warehouse space to sort of put together a special restaurant, you know? Mm-hmm. And you can sort of imagine them like moving the ovens after the first try, like, oh no, you don't want to cook the burgers there. Mm-hmm. That'll slow everything down, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a really interesting idea that they can do a mock-up of a restaurant.
What about that verb or adjective, mock? Are there other places we see that word sometimes?
Yeah, we used it yesterday. We talked about a mock restaurant, meaning this like a version of what they're wanting to do out there, or a copy, but it's not real. So it is fake, but they're trying to copy something in real life.
Sometimes, though, when we use the word mock, we use it to mean make fun of people.
Mm.
But that's not what they're saying here. Here they're just saying a fake or a practice version of something.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard of mock trials, mock drafts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You wear a mock turtleneck. Isn't that what Steve Jobs loved to wear?
I think he wore real ones.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Just means a little shorter on the collar.
Maybe.
Well, it was very large, this mock version of the pop-up restaurant in London. But lots of people also come through the Innovation Center, and they come from overseas.
Right. We see that McDonald's operators from 25 to 30 countries rotate through the center. So they actually have a schedule to have different countries come and try out their different products, which I think makes sense because, like we said, different McDonald's around the world try to cater to their local community and the tastes in that country.
I think it's really neat that they open up the Innovation Center for people to work on their own projects, because different countries, the restaurants obviously will have very specific problems that are related to their country and their culture.
That's right. One week, it says, a team from Australia visited, and they were trying to figure out how to build their customized gourmet burger. And that is a word we don't often associate with McDonald's, right? Gourmet?
It's true, because we think of it just being a everyday, the easy, common man's burger. We don't think of it as being fancy or, gourmet.
Well, the following week, teams from other countries came in, right, Simon?
That's right. It seems they had teams from a number of different Scandinavian countries, like Sweden, Norway, Denmark, and Finland, coming to do their own tests.
Maybe a pickled herring burger.
Yeah.
I was just thinking that. Yeah,
something that people from Scandinavia would be really into.
And they can even change the drive-thru. Because, of course, some parts of Asia, we drive on the right side of the road. But be careful in Hong Kong and Singapore, right?
Yeah, they
right
drive on
New Zealand,
the left.
We drive on the left.
Boy, yeah. That really messed me up in the crosswalk last month when I was in Singapore. I kept looking the wrong way before I crossed the road.
Yeah.
That's why I'm careful.
I hadn't thought about that, but yeah, I guess that means they do enter on the other side of the building, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sure does. Mm. Well, they built a mock drive-thru. Another word, another example of that word, mock. Let's now move to our second section of the article.
Teamwork sometimes brings challenges. Though the Innovation Center can help the collaborative process, there can be conflicts when bringing together experts on technology, engineering, and design, as well as trying to solve problems for dozens of countries, Robert said. In some markets, our family business and the in-store experience remains paramount. In other markets, convenience and the way convenience is evolving are the focus, Robert said. Some sophisticated pieces of equipment can take 3 to 4 years to create and test. Processes are tweaked multiple times before they make their way into restaurants. Other proposed changes don't make it out of the building.
So we've talked a lot about the products that they're working on in this innovation center. Now we talk a bit about the people and the processes that go in putting a big team together. And there's a lot to it, right, Simon?
Yeah, it seems that McDonald's has a lot of resources all around the world that it can kind of pull together to have people meet and discuss different problems and suggest different ideas. And then, of course, test them because it's an innovation center.
We use the word collaborative.
Right, and that's exactly what Simon talked about, is bringing different resources or different people together for a specific or special purpose.
The verb being to collaborate, to work together with others to solve a problem. And there can be conflicts, it says, when you're bringing disparate groups together. The technology person is very different from the engineer, and we all know designers are kind of a unique group, aren't they?
That's right. They actually give us a very good example of what they're talking about here in a little bit of a sidebar. Over about midway down on page 25, they talk about the chicken nugget dispenser. And they give us this example of not wanting employees to count the number of chicken nuggets they were going to put in the package. Instead, there was going to be a machine to do it. And you can see that being the sort of thing that engineers and technology people would get really excited about. You know, you build the machine because you can build it, and it's a neat piece of technology to put in the restaurant. But as it turned out, when people got involved, it wasn't really all that valuable to the crew themselves, the people themselves. They didn't find counting the chicken McNuggets too difficult.
That one sounded very Jetsons to me, you know, that sci-fi futuristic version of the kitchen where you press a button and out pop the nuggets from the machine.
Yeah,
but it didn't really make sense, because
no.
A person could just as easily take them out of the box and pour them into the fryer. It didn't need a robot to shoot out the nuggets.
That's right. So it's on the shelf. That's what it says in the sidebar, meaning they've kept the idea for later, for a time when it might be more useful.
Well, there's also some varying objectives of these groups inside the stores when they visit, right, Amanda?
Right. They say in some markets, our family business and the in-store experience remains paramount, which means when something is paramount, it means more important than anything else.
So they're really focused on kind of the local feel and the culture of the experience. Maybe in Thailand or South Africa, McDonald's is a place where you hang out, spend lots of time. Where in other cities, what? Convenience would be more important, and what?
Yeah, I think like in New York City, you're worried about time. You know, you want to go in, get your coffee, get your breakfast, and leave again, go to work. But if you're in the suburbs, that is where, you know, maybe families go with their young children to play in the playground for a while so that they can catch up over coffee. And so they want to spend time there. So they're very different objectives.
Yeah, that's actually, you can think of lots of different examples of that if you've been to different McDonald's. Like in Canada, in suburban areas, if you go to visit a McDonald's, usually the counter where you get your food is kind of at the back of the McDonald's. And there's a big seating area with all these 4- and 6-person tables kind of out front. But if you go to a more urban McDonald's, maybe in an Asian city, you'll find the McDonald's is actually on several floors, and you can kind of get your food on the first or the second floor. And they have a lot of those kind of bar seating counters where individual people would kind of sit instead of sitting with their families. Right?
Amanda mentioned New York City. You can get McDonald's delivered in New York City. How's that for convenience?
You can get delivered in Taipei, too.
You can?
Yeah, they come on a scooter.
Wow. Should we get it now?
I think we should think about it.
Make the call. Make the call. Well, it says some sophisticated pieces of equipment can take a long time to make its way through the center. Right, Amanda?
Right. It says up to 3 or 4 years to create and test. And I think that's because in the following sentence, processes are tweaked multiple times before they make their way into restaurants. Tweaked meaning making slight changes to make it more efficient or correct. And they do that multiple times. So that's what they do over the 3 to 4 years.
So this chicken nugget shooter was something that was very sophisticated and took a long time to make its way through.
That's right. But it never made it out of the building.
Ended up on the shelf.
Yeah.
Didn't make it out. When something's proposed, it means we have an idea for it. We would like to tweak it, make a small change to it, but perhaps it sits on the shelf.
Mm. It's interesting, though. Those failures are very important to innovation, of course, right? You need thousands of bad ideas to find the one really good one. I bet they have some really interesting ideas coming through this place.
You know, I looked online. I didn't really find any sophisticated equipment that they're publicizing. It's probably pretty secret.
Trade secret.
Right. Yeah.
They don't want to tell you.
Don't want Burger King.
It's more about processes and what the customer wants. I saw that they, in America, they introduced smoothies. And so they made their own smoothie machines that you just touch press to make that more efficient. But bringing the whole process of smoothies into McDonald's took quite a few years before it was tweaked and brought into the front stores.
Well, and one of the reasons sales are declining is people don't want their food made by sophisticated equipment. Mm. People want to see their food made by humans. Mm. And so McDonald's is actually wondering how they can kind of take advantage of these fast casual trends like Subway. We see a lot in Asia.
Mm-hmm.
There is a kind of a version of Subway for the burrito around the world now called Chipotle, which is one of the fastest growing restaurants. And then now there is a pizza version of Chipotle where you come up to the line just like Subway, put in your order, and you pick your toppings, an unlimited amount of toppings for about $8 US, and then it goes into an oven. It's a thin crust pizza and you wait about 6 minutes for it.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm glad I'm here today because I learned how to pronounce Chipotle. I thought that was Chipotle or Chipotle.
Very happy to help.
It is a handy tip.
We Southern Californians, we love our peppers, and the Chipotle pepper
is
one of our favorites.
You actually see that a lot in sauces. You can find in all kinds of different restaurants that word.
And McDonald's actually owned a stake in Chipotle several years ago, and they sold it, which was a really big mistake.
Yes, they thought pepper is not the way forward. But it was.
Maybe you're thinking the Innovation Center would be an interesting place to work. Well, in our last section of the article, we'll find out what it takes to work there.
What does it take to work there? Vice President of Restaurant Innovation, Lori Gilbert, said that though there are a wide range of positions at the center, She looks for similar characteristics in applicants, those who are naturally curious and like to solve problems. My favorite interview question is, if I gave you a few months and some money to work on anything you saw in a McDonald's restaurant, what would you want to work on?
Thank you, Lois. So, what does it take to work there? That's an interesting phrase. What does it take? Meaning what? What do you have? Do you have what it takes? Do you have the abilities, the background, the personality to be successful at something? And who do we meet, Simon?
Well, we meet an executive, the vice president of restaurant innovation, who I assume is in charge of the innovation center. Her name is Lori Gilbert. And she says that there are a wide range of positions at the center. So obviously, there's people doing a lot of different jobs here. And for each of them, there will be different job requirements.
And what kinds of things is she looking for, Amanda?
Well, she's looking for similar characteristics, so things that they have in common, and those who are naturally curious and like to solve problems.
What does it mean to be naturally curious?
You like to know about what is going on with things.
You ask questions, you probe, you wonder, what's, why, when, how.
This is made up.
Sure.
Yeah.
Simon, I think you're a naturally curious person.
Mm. I try sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it causes more trouble than it's worth, but maybe that's because I'm not working at the Innovation Center.
Well, you also have to be someone who likes to solve problems. Mm. So you're going to see challenges and issues and obstacles, and you're the type of person that likes to tackle those. And she has, Ms. Gilbert, has a favorite interview question. She asks, if I gave you a few months and some money to do anything inside the center, what would you want to do?
Good question.
What do you think that question tells her about an applicant?
Well, I think it tells her a number of things. It tells her if they're curious. It tells her how familiar they are with McDonald's and the various sort of processes they have.
Mm-hmm.
And it also tells you if the person's really good at problem solving, if they know, you know, there are problems in the process. Because if you're watching a McDonald's sort of from the other side of the counter, it actually looks like it's flowing pretty smoothly back there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're churning out food very, very quickly. But obviously there's going to be things that could be improved, and she'll find that out by asking this question.
Do either of you have an answer to this question?
I haven't personally worked at a McDonald's. So.
But knowing what happens, is there an area of the menu or of the process that you might want to spend some time on?
I haven't actually worked at a McDonald's, but there are two things that I think would be interesting to look into. One is sort of ordering through a machine. I don't know if you've noticed at airports and stuff lately, we tend to have a lot of e-passport control stuff now.
Kiosks.
Yeah, where you kind of like you scan your document, and you kind of walk through. Mm. I wonder if it wouldn't be easier to have that sort of machine to avoid some of the counter business. The other thing I wonder about is I personally have found it confusing in McDonald's which package or which thing to put in which part of the trash. You know, what things are recycling, what things aren't, that kind of thing. I know they have sort of done a specially designed trash disposal unit, but I think it's pretty confusing for people, and I might like to look into that.
I think what would be interesting to look at is how much time people spend in a McDonald's versus how much money they're spending. Because especially in Asia, it looks to me that there are people just sitting in there for hours and hours enjoying the Wi-Fi and the air conditioning, but are they spending any money?
What's interesting you mention that, because when I was doing my thesis, I spent a lot of time actually working in fast food restaurants. And one of the things I noticed is that restaurants where the counter is on the same floor as the seating, don't tend to have people sitting for hours and hours. It's like people feel bad about sitting there for 3 hours without ordering anything. But when you can kind of go hide upstairs, it seems people decide to take naps and all kinds of stuff. So I think that's a very interesting question to look at.
So out of sight, out of mind.
Well, just what could you do with your restaurant layout, things like that, the different kinds of seating to encourage people to move on quickly?
I've seen some coffee shops will actually kick you off the internet after a certain time. Right. And they'll let you back on, but they will log you out and remind you to go interact with a human or get some air.
Or like get that. Some coffee.
Right.
Buy another cup.
Well, we have some interesting sidebars to look at. We have a little bit of time. Up top is a paragraph there about design. Could you read that, Simon?
Sure. It says, kitchen design and customer preference are linked. Melody Roberts, McDonald's Senior Director of Experience Design Innovation, notes that consumer preference for custom drinks, for example, would shape the way kitchen space is allocated.
So they're giving thought even to what the customers prefer. And this idea of the self-serve drink station and creating your own combination of flavors, I haven't seen it much in Asia, but it's very popular in North America.
You have free refills, right?
We have free refills. Mm. And then we also have something called the Coca-Cola Freestyle Machine. Oh. It has over 1,000 different flavors in it.
Wow.
It's an amazing machine. Go look it up online.
I got to get to America more often.
What's it called again? The Coca-Cola?
Freestyle.
Freestyle.
Wow. An incredible machine. And then the lower graphic on the left. Could you read that, Amanda?
McDonald's employees, trainees, and staff bring food to the tables of people portraying customers at the McDonald's Innovation Center.
I like that line. Portraying customers. They're actors pretending to be McDonald's.
Fake customers.
Don't eat that hamburger. It's actually a tracking chip.
Sounds like a fun job. Well, we hope you had some fun in our business lesson this week. We want to thank you for joining us and hope you'll be here next time in the advanced class. Until then, this is Josh.
Amanda.
And Simon.
Saying goodbye.